name of the Father and of the Son, of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. A few things to point out from our gospel reading that you may just kind of glance right over. First, the Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. East of Jerusalem is Asia, India, China, Japan. The Greek, in the Greek, the translation that they came from where the sun rose. So it didn't specifically say, but it was from where the sun rose, which, you know, the sun rises in the east. They saw his star and they came to honor him. These were people who had some understanding of astronomy and studying the stars, and that they noticed this one was different and that it meant something different. They show up in town, the Magi, they show up in town. And they start asking, hey, where's the newborn king of the Jews? Because we've seen his star and we've come to worship him. And King Herod, who in name anyway is in fact the king of the Jews, earthly king, he hears this and he's troubled. And the people of Judea are troubled because they're like, wait a minute, Herod's the king. What do you mean newborn baby king of the, what? And so he pulled together everyone he could think of, Herod did. He pulled together the priests and the legal experts, and he says, so go back to the prophets and tell me, where is this Christ supposed to show up, and when did it happen, and what's the story here? And so they say, well, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judea, by no means are you the least among the rulers of Judah, because you will come from you, one will come who governs, who will shepherd my people, Israel. That's David, by the way. And Herod called the Magi together, said, oh, come on over and talk to me for a minute. And he's pressing them for information about when did the star first appear, and what season was it, and how long have you been following this mysterious light? And he's not getting the information. I'm guessing he's not getting the information he wanted. And so he.
When you have done that, come back and tell me exactly where he is so that I might worship him too.
And they go. And did you notice that it says they entered the house and saw the child with Mary? Town has cleared out a little bit, and because we've just had a baby, we're not getting back on the donkey anytime soon to go traipsing off back to wherever we came from. So, finally, there's room in the inn. And they're in the house, and there's the baby, and there's the mother, and they come in, and they worship him, and they bring him gold, which is a gift for a king, and frankincense, which is a gift for a king, and myrrh, which is a gift for a king. They are in tune with the astrology and the astronomy. They listen to the dream that says, do not go back to Herod. At some point, open your Bible and read the rest of Matthew 2. Because they not coming back made Herod mad. So mad that he said, I can't have somebody come up and try to usurp my power. I want every child under the age of 2 killed. About what an earthly king did, because he got all upset about them. Arise, shine, your light has come. The Lord's glory has shone upon you. Though darkness covers the earth and gloom the nations, the Lord will shine upon you, and God's glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to your dawning radiance. He was talking about the one who would come and open our eyes. When the wise men showed up in that house to see that baby and his mother and fell down on their knees and paid homage to him, their eyes were open to things they could not understand. What this story says for us is that the power of showing up and being willing to see things that we don't understand. What this story tells us is that Jesus' birth is not just for the time, the people of his time, but that it is, in fact, for generations and generations and generations unto the end of the earth. That his coming is not just for those who were born Jewish, but for those who were born. Wise men had the option not to follow. They're human, just like the rest of us. They have free will. They could have said, that's a weird star, and kept on going with their own business. They didn't have to trek the thousands of miles to get to where the child was sleeping. They didn't have to follow. They didn't have to do any of the things. And they chose to follow. And they chose. Today we also remember the baptism of our Lord. And when we come forward for communion, we will be remembering our baptism. We will be answering again in reaffirmation those questions that either we answered or were answered on our behalf at our baptism. And then we will also celebrate communion, the two sacraments that point to the invisible grace, the visible reminders of things that we cannot see and we cannot comprehend, but we know full well we are called to do. See, the thing about baptism and the thing about communion is the same thing about Christmas and Easter and all points in between. It's about show. Baptism, God shows up. It's how God marks us and claims us as his and says, you belong to me and you are deeply, deeply loved, and I mark you as one of mine so that not only you will remember who you are, so that the world will know who you are. You belong to me. And at Easter, when we thought death had won, when we thought that all of the things that had happened in the 33 years previous had been for naught, who showed up? The risen Christ. It's about showing up. And honestly, friends, if we're going to be followers of Christ, and if we're going to be Christians, and if we're going to walk the walk that we are also doing the talk for, that means we have to show up. It means we, as bearers of God's light and living embodiments of, and we, as people who know
got to show up.
At this new year, at this new beginning, and we have a whole page in front of us that is 2020, this is the time to show up. What does that look like? For some of us, it might look like being here to help unload the pantry truck on Thursday. For some of us, it looks like doing a fill-in babysitting shift as is needed. For some of us, it might look like writing a letter to somebody who needs a letter written to them. I'm not telling you who it needs to be. That's between you and God.
Perhaps it looks like making a phone call. Perhaps it looks like speaking out against an injustice.
You have a voice to talk about. Perhaps it's being that voice of compassion and caring, saying, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. The wise men followed the star. And they showed up. And they fell on bended knee and paid homage.
God showed up in the form of a tiny baby in a stable. God continues to show up every time we remember our baptism and partake of
this meal. Can you show up? Deserves it. Can you show up and be that beacon of God's light and that bearer and sharer of God's love? Can you show up and be that shoulder that somebody needs? Can you be? It's the fifth day of January. And if you're anything like I am, your New Year's resolution has kind of gone south. Mine didn't even start, so there's that. But it's not too late to pick something else. And maybe, just maybe this morning, the call then is to figure out who God is calling you to be and what specifically God is calling you to do. And it does not have to be some big, grand, glorious, massive thing. I'm going to tell you something about my personal life. It's the times when people have shown up and done the little things that I have most intimately felt the presence of God. God showed up with the student ministry coordinators in that dorm room after Mom left, after my brother died, and she came up to tell me. God showed up in the form of a PNC. God showed up in the form of friends gathered at the house. God showed up when I called and said, oh my God, my aunt has cancer and it's bad. God shows up in us. God shows up in you and you and you and you. And God shows up to us through us. Maybe, just maybe, the peace we are so desperately longing for will come when we remember to show up. Amen.